Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now on this Labor Day is Anne-Marie Lafazo, a professor of law at West Virginia University College of Law, where she teaches labor and employment law, jurisprudence, and comparative labor law. She is currently a leadership fellow in the Office of the Associate Vice President for Creative and Scholarly Activity and a research scholar for the NYU Center for Labor and Employment. And Dr. Lafazo spent 10 years as an attorney with the National Labor Relations Board's appellate and Supreme Court branches. Welcome to Background Briefing, Anne-Marie Lafazo.
Thank you, Ian.
So last time we spoke was about the West Virginia teachers' strike, and frankly, that was a pretty hopeful moment, I think, in terms of labor. We get nothing but bad news, you know. The unions are losing their membership. They're down to 7% or so of the private workforce. We know the Supreme Court has ruled against public employers' unions recently, and which is also going to defund the Democrats. But the wave of teacher wildcats spread from West Virginia to Oklahoma and to Kentucky and had pretty powerful results. And frankly, in Oklahoma, the legislators who voted against the teachers all got booted out in the recent primaries.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, actually, how powerful people are when they come together in common cause and they put their message forward. And that's why many people are afraid of any group that comes together, because it will challenge the establishment. Right? I mean, isn't that what Trump's... Actually, if you think about it, Trump does that himself as a one person, but he's a very powerful person as the president. Here, the working person is getting together and challenging the establishment.
Right, but there's no comparison in the sense that Trump ran as a populist, but is governed as a plutocrat.
Absolutely. And that's what I hope that the working person eventually sees. I mean, you got to remember, almost all of us are working class, and by that I mean we have to work in order to live. Most of us can't just live off the income of our investments. That means, I don't know what percentage, but very high in the 90s of us are, in that sense, working class. And I was very hopeful that Trump, as a populist, would have done many things for labor, but he's actually harmed labor very, very much from his selection for who's on the National Labor Relations Board, to his health care policies, to his trade policies. And yeah, even in trade, you would have thought that those would have been really pro-labor policies, but actually they've turned out to be disasters for working people. But you're right, there is some hope in that people are coming together. I don't think they've yet tied it to Trumpism, but I think that people realize that they're getting a short deal, the short end of the stick, and that they need to come together and say, no, enough is enough. We haven't been paid enough. We're entitled to benefits. We are entitled to to have a living wage, and that we need to be able to, this is the greatest country in the world. Why can't we have things that other countries already have and take as a given?
Well, your state, West Virginia, I think is a key state in the sense that it's very much a working class state with coal miners, but you also have coal barons like Blankenship and the governor, Jim Justice, right? These are, what, billionaires or multimillionaires? So how do you explain that paradox that a working class state could be politically captured? And of course, the Senator Caputo is totally in the pocket of big coal.
Well, I think part of it is that many people in West Virginia believe that their future is tied to coal. And they believed that Obama was the one who got rid of coal jobs, which really isn't true. I mean, it's a much more complex situation than that. That has to do in part with shale gas, in part with supply and demand, the very warm winters leading to less demand, the energy portfolio is much more diversified than it's ever been. But unfortunately, there's a narrative that's going out there that coal means jobs. And so if you are very concerned about having a job and keeping your jobs, which I know many of my friends are, they're coal miners or they're spouses of coal miners or they work in the coal industry. And if you believe that, then you're going to vote for someone who is going to be as pro-coal as possible, rather than thinking really, I think, long-term, which would be coal is not going to be here forever, even though it has been very good to West Virginians, very good. But we are an energy state, so which party or which person is going to represent my interest of having a diversified portfolio? Why aren't we creating a diversified economy in West Virginia? When you have one, it's like having a stock portfolio and you only have one stock. If that stock goes down, then you lose all your money. And what I think West Virginians need to start to realize is that we need to have a diversified portfolio of different businesses, which they are. I mean, that is starting to happen. And I think the largest employer in the state is actually West Virginia University. But we need to understand that there needs to be cross training for other jobs. Not just energy jobs, but and maybe even bring in the entertainment industry, and just that's something that I think we need that message here. You should recall that although Trump was very popular in West Virginia, so was Bernie Sanders. So it would be interesting if a Bernie Sanders type candidate ran in West Virginia, whether or not he or she would be able to win. I think there's a good chance, actually.
Well, they have the opposite, though, in Senator Manchin. And
that's true.
You know, where the conventional wisdom amongst the establishment Democrats is you've got to be more like Republicans in order to get elected. But last week we saw down in Florida a Bernie Sanders type, much more populist left-wing candidate get elected to run for the Florida governorship. So I think you're absolutely right that thesis hasn't really been tested, has it?
No, it hasn't been tested. And I think it would also depend on who that person would be running against. So we have, for example, Manchin is running against someone who is Morrissey, who in his own way is very unpopular in the state because of his ties to the pharmaceutical industry. And so I think Manchin might have had a harder time with Evan Jenkins, who doesn't have that kind of backstory. And so Manchin may very well be able to win the race, and it's looking very good for him. But let's say with Shelley Moore Capito, maybe with Senator Capito, if a progressive were to run against her and there would be a choice between the two, then it's very possible that a progressive could win. Again, that would be tests that may or may not be tested. It's just going to depend on what the Democratic Party decides to do and what the primaries look like. And I think it's 2 years that her seat is up. But, you know, give the people of West Virginia a choice between, say, a very, very moderate Democrat that's really more like a Republican and Shelley Moore Capito. I think Shelley Moore Capito would win, hands down. Including if Manchin were to run against her. So it might be really interesting to see what happens this November and to see whether, for example the mayor from Tallahassee is able to win. And what else? I think there's also the woman from New York, and whose name is escaping me right now, but she also has a very progressive agenda. Although New York's not quite the battleground that Florida and West Virginia are.
Well, of course, Manchin, again, there's a big question about whether or not he's going to, starting tomorrow, of course, we have the Kavanaugh hearings, whether or not he's going to vote for Kavanaugh. And the same, of course, is true of Heidi Heitkamp and Claire McCaskill in Missouri. But when you mentioned that Manchin's running against Morrissey, who's tied to Farmer, my God, that should really resonate in West Virginia. West Virginia has the worst incidence of opioid addiction, where in small towns, pharmacies have had hundreds of thousands of prescriptions and hooked hundreds of thousands of people, many of whom died. And, of course, the real villains in this case are the big pharma, like Purdue Pharma, who, of course, now buying full-page ads in the New York Times trying to tell us what great, wonderful people they are.
Yeah. No, I do think it does resonate, actually. I think Morrissey has an uphill battle with against Manchin. Manchin is still very popular. Manchin is seen as having done a good job for West Virginians, who tend to be many Democrats tend to be fairly moderate. Although there is a very progressive side of West Virginia, as I was stating earlier with the Bernie victory. So I think that people understand that, and they're very angry about that. Morrissey's ads have really tied Manchin, or trying to tie Manchin to this idea that of clear the swamp, clean the whatever it is that he says, you know, get rid of Manchin because he's just, they're calling him Washington Joe. I'm not sure that really is going to resonate with West Virginians who really haven't seen the swamp drained yet. And that if anything, there's been a lot of swampiness in the current administration. So they may support Trump, but they don't necessarily support all of Trump's people. So no one shed a tear in West Virginia when Scott Pruitt was when Scott Pruitt left, for example. So I'm not sure those ads are going to work.
Well, just in closing, on this Labor Day, Anne-Marie Lafazo, we started out talking about how West Virginia's teacher strike is an hopeful example of how collective actions can benefit all, and that's the whole point of unions. Do you think there's a cultural change underway that working Americans are starting to recognize, in spite of the massive propaganda against unions that have been going on for decades? Do you think that people are starting to wake up to the idea that we're better sticking together than, you know, a house divided against itself will not stand? And
right.
we're better sticking together, surely.
I think that you're seeing that with millennials and with my daughter's generation, the Gen Z. I don't know what their name is yet. But I think younger people are starting to understand that. The teacher strike was really amazing because it was women, and not necessarily all younger women. Many women who are my age, middle age, were involved in that. But I do think that women are also starting to wake up to that, and people of color are starting to realize that maybe this system isn't really working for all of us, and that maybe we really need something a little more egalitarian. And that means banding together to engage in concerted activity. And that means, and I think when people saw the success of the teacher strike in West Virginia, where West Virginian teachers have almost no rights. The only right public sector employees have in West Virginia is they have a right to join a union. They do not have a right to demand bargaining. And there were many things that the Attorney General went against, the Attorney General, which is, by the way, Morrissey, went against in the teacher strike. And here, they won. They won. They were able to get their raise. And now the battle's not over. They still are trying to get better health care benefits. But they're pushing for these things. So, yes, do I think there's hope? I think there's hope that people are starting, that the scales are starting to drop from their eyes, and that they're starting to realize that our politicians have not been always working for our interests, that our politicians have been working for big money, pharmaceutical companies, and things like that, and that maybe they do need change.
Well,
that's my hope for Labor Day.
Well, thank you, Anne-Marie Lafazo. Thank you for joining us on this Labor Day. And again, I've been speaking with Anne-Marie Lafazo, who's a professor of law at West Virginia University College of Law, where she teaches labor and employment law, jurisprudence, and comparative labor law. She's currently a research scholar for the NYU Center for Labor and Employment, and spent 10 years as an attorney with the National Labor Relations Board's appellate and Supreme Court branches. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back looking into how we can beat back the plutocracy.